Morning. In this fourth and last Sunday of Advent, I think the church is trying to tell us something very important about Christmas. And of course, we celebrate that feast in less than a week. So we have this one last opportunity to reflect on the meaning of Christmas, why Christ came. And I think the church tells us this in the readings that she gives us for this last Sunday of Advent. In all three of the readings, there is reference to Christ as the Son of David. In all three of those readings that we heard, and I think that's very important. I think the church is trying to tell us something. In that first reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah says, "Listen, O house of David." And he goes on to make the prophecy that we then hear repeated in the gospel, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. And then in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, Paul refers to Christ as descended from David according to the flesh. And then in the gospel itself, the angel addresses Joseph as Joseph, son of David. And so what's going on here? What's all this reference to David about? Well, if you want to do some Advent reading in these last few days before Christmas, go into the second book of Samuel, chapter 7. And in that chapter, the second book of Samuel, the Lord speaks to David, King David, and tells him that he is going to establish a throne for him forever. And that kings after him would always reign over Israel. And this is very important. In fact, throughout our tradition, we refer to this as the Davidic covenant, that God made this covenant with David and basically said, someone from your line will always reign over Israel. And this is important because if you remember how David even became king of Israel, he was a lowly shepherd who the Lord saw had a good heart and picked him to be king. And so David, far from perhaps other kings who might not know their people, David was once one of them. David knew what their daily struggles and trials were like, and he was once one of them before he became king. And as king, that's part of what made him so successful, is that he knew his people. And when we look at this Davidic covenant and we see that God is saying, someone from your line will always reign over Israel, we know that David went on to have kids, and their kids had kids, and they became kings of Israel. We know David's son, Solomon, who we know is renowned for his wisdom, but then later in his life really fell into some awful sin and ended up falling away from the Lord. And we can look and say, well, wait a minute, what happened to the Davidic covenant? God said that someone from David's line would always rule over Israel. And they did. We can trace the kings of Israel back through to David. But what about now? Who is the Davidic king ruling over Israel now? And the answer is Jesus Christ. And that's what the church is trying to tell us in these readings today as we prepare for the birth of Christ, that Jesus Christ in his humanity, is from the line of David. And it's very important that when the second person of the Blessed Trinity decided to become man, he was born in the line of David to make a point that he was coming to be that king in the line of David to fulfill forever the Davidic covenant, that he would be from the line of David and would always reign over the new Israel, which is the church. And we can wonder, though, and say, well, wait a minute, Christ came 2,000 years ago, he was born of the line of David, he lived for 33 years, but then he suffered and died, and he was resurrected, and then walked around for 40 days, but ascended back to heaven, and now he's in heaven. And we can say, how is that really a fulfillment of the Davidic covenant? And I'll tell you two reasons why. Well, first is because he does continue to reign over us from his place at the right hand of God the Father, as we profess in the Creed, that he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. But there's something else going on here too. When Christ was born to fulfill that Davidic covenant, And when he, like David, took on our humanity and experienced everything that we experience, that's what made him all the better of a king, that he knew us. Just like David knew his people, Christ knows us. When he took on our humanity, he experienced everything that we will ever experience. Not just temptation, certainly that too, but just what it's like to be a human being, our emotions. He's experienced all of that, and so just like David was so close to his people, Christ is to us, even from his place in heaven. But there's something else going on here too. Christ continues to be close to us and to be our king and to reign over us as the new Israel in his Eucharistic presence. That Christ is really, truly, substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament, in any tabernacle, in any Catholic church all over the world, and he's been there for 2,000 years. Let that sink in, that yes, Christ came here in a human body and was here for 33 years, like I said, and suffered and died and rose and ascended back to heaven. But as soon as he was gone, the apostles started celebrating the Eucharist at his command, when at the Last Supper he said, "Do this in memory of me." And we have very early evidence that the apostles themselves celebrated the Eucharist and made our Lord really, truly, substantially present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Blessed Sacrament. And their successors have been doing it for 2,000 years, that Christ is still present among us and is so close to us. And I would offer this just as a reflection for us to think about, that this is why Christ came, so that he could fulfill that Davidic covenant, that he could fulfill that promise made to David that someone from his line would always rule over Israel and would be close to his people as David was to his people. How close is Christ to us in the Blessed Sacrament? And, there are, real briefly, there are two different temptations we can very easily fall into. One is to simply say, well, I don't really believe that that's actually him. And they say, and I would like to think that this is not true in our parish, but there are all these surveys that you can look up, and some of the worst suggest that up to 50% of practicing Catholics, not just people who call themselves Catholic and show up for Christmas and Easter, but 50% of practicing Catholics supposedly don't believe that Christ is really, truly, substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, I hope that is not the case in this parish. But that's certainly one problem, is that we can fall into that extreme of just saying, well, he's really not there. I mean, it's a nice symbol. It's still just bread and wine. It makes us remember the Last Supper and all of these nice flowery language that's not true. The other extreme is to believe that, yes, he is there, and just to kind of take his presence for granted and just kind of walk in and out of church as if it's any other building. Now, this is again, this is a very easy temptation for all of us to fall into, and especially for me as a priest who says Mass every single day, and to have the host, to have our Eucharistic Lord in my fingers every single day. It's much more easier for me as a priest to fall into this. So I'm preaching to you just as much as I am to myself, that let's not fall into either of those two traps. Let's recognize that Christ is really, truly, substantially present here among us, throughout the entire world. Like I said, in any tabernacle, in any Catholic church throughout the world, that he is really, truly, substantially present, and he is so close to us. But let us also never take his presence for granted. And in these last few days of Advent, let's reflect on that this is why Christ came, to be with us forever.